Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the Southerly Nourished podcast. I'm your host, Kylie Arnold, owner of Arnold Nutrition Coaching, where I'm a nutrition coach, your functional fat loss friend, and a proud Southern mom here to help you feel confident in your skin and your food choices, all while staying true to those Southern traditions we love so much. Today, we're diving into a topic that a lot of you have asked for and can feel very overwhelming, and that is ingredients. Specifically, what to avoid, what to look for, and how to make sense of all of those confusing labels. And this isn't about, you know, necessarily demonizing food or making you feel guilty for what's in your pantry. It's about understanding what works for you and taking small, manageable steps toward better choices. Whether you're just starting your health journey or have been working on it for a while, you'll find something helpful here. And I really feel like you'll walk away being more clear with why there's so much controversy on ingredients. It can be, you know, avoid this, no, add in that, no, that doesn't really harm you. So we're going to go through all of that today. Before we dive in, go ahead, check out the show notes, follow us on Instagram. We have an amazing Christmas giveaway going on right now that you want to enter. Download our no cook grocery guides. I have some other freebies there. So head to the show notes to grab those links with some free resources and some great opportunities to win some wonderful prizes. All right. So grab your tea, coffee, smoothie, water, whatever you have, or all of the above like I do, and let's dive in. So first, we're going to talk about why it feels so confusing, okay? So there are a few reasons why sorting through what's quote-unquote healthy or harmful can feel like swimming through our murky Louisiana waters, okay? So number one is conflicting research. So nutrition science, one, is constantly evolving, and what's considered harmful today might be viewed differently tomorrow. For example, we've seen major shifts in things like fat, cholesterol, and artificial sweeteners and how they're perceived over the years. Some studies say they're fine, while others point to serious concerns. Here's some of the reasonings for that. So much of the research we see is funded by industries with a stake in the game. So, you know, in general, my philosophy is I like to use research for either new things or certain basics like foundations of things when I can see that it's funded by like a third party or who it's funded through. So I know that it's not skewed, or if it is skewed, why it might be skewed. So science are, you know, I'm not going to say science, but research isn't the end all be all the time, because there's a lot of things that influence research. So one, like I said, it could be just funding, who has a stake in the game. So studies funded by soda companies, for example, will often downplay the risk of artificial sweeteners, while studies funded by the sugar industry might highlight them. So it's a tangled web, and it makes it hard to figure out what's unbiased and reliable. So two is individual variability. So everybody is different. Your genetics, your gut health, and detox pathways influence how well you process certain ingredients. So some people can handle artificial sweeteners just fine, while others experience bloating, headaches, blood sugar spikes. So there's no one size fit all approach. And that's the thing with research too, is they don't always say, like in an article that's reporting on research, how many people had a specific effect. So if they say majority of the people responded one way, well, maybe that's just 51%. Technically, that's majority, but that's not the vast majority by any means. So there's still a ton of variability. And that's why a lot of things can be very confusing when it comes to research. And what they're saying is because it depends on who's funding it. And it also depends on the person. It always depends on the person. So even with very general recommendations for things like blood sugar, you know, that doesn't always fit everyone. I think a lot of these things lay a good foundation, but most places like can't possibly individualize all advice. That's why I do think working with a coach is really helpful. But that's some of the reasons why you might feel some confusion. Another reason is because it's marketing, y'all. So they'll use buzzwords, natural, organic, no sugar added, to create like this healthy halo, even if the product is still highly processed. So if you pair that with either bright, cheerful packaging or a natural looking type of packaging, it can definitely make you feel a different way about the product despite the ingredients. So I'm going to empower y'all today to know what to look for with those ingredients. Then there are also some gray areas in nutrition science. So Some ingredients like artificial flavors and preservatives have mixed evidence about their long-term effects. So this leaves room for debate and personal interpretation. So should you avoid them altogether? Are they okay in moderation? Again, depends on your body, your health goals, and your comfort with risk. All of this with the conflicting studies, marketing tactics, and personal variability can leave you scratching your head for sure. But we're going to clear some of that up. And just to put it out there, y'all may not agree with me, and that is okay. My personal approach is if it can be easily avoided, if it is something made in a lab that can be easily avoided, then I'm going to avoid it. For the most part, that's not something that I'm going to choose to do daily. I'm not going to argue with myself and say, well, such and such says that's healthy. Like if it's aspartame, if it's, certain artificial sugars, and we'll go through this in detail. If it's just things that can be easily avoided and I have good alternatives, then I'm going to avoid those to the best of my ability. So that is my personal outlook. And I'm also going to tell y'all, use your brains, I'm not going to say everything from nature isn't harmful, that we'll dive into that too, but everyone knows mostly whole foods will benefit us. No one is out there, and I've said this before on a podcast, you have a lot of conflicting things, but one thing that most industries can agree on is having mostly whole unprocessed food. So if you were avoiding processed foods most of the time, then you're likely fine. So I'm not going to say that there's, again, any one size fits all approach, but that's just my take on it. So I just wanted to give y'all that before we dive in further. So two, let's talk about how ingredient lists work. So a lot of people don't realize this, but a simple tip to make label reading easier, ingredients are listed in the order of weight. That means the first ingredient is what the product contains the most of. The last ingredient is what the product contains the least of. So if sugar is listed as one of the first three ingredients, that might mean that product is loaded with sugar, no matter what the front of the package says. Or if one of the first ingredients is wheat or corn, then there's a substantial amount of that specific ingredient in the product. But don't stop there. So read the entire list, because sometimes companies break up ingredients into smaller parts to make them look less significant. For example, instead of listing sugar, they might list cane sugar, corn syrup, and honey separately. Adding those sugars might make a huge chunk of the product. And so in general, and I'm not saying sugar in and of itself is bad by any means, but a lot of added sugar in processed foods likely isn't ideal. And that's just one example. So that's an example of ways that the food labeling can kind of be misconstrued, or the way that they can make it seem like not as bad are a little bit better. So, and then again, when you're looking at a food label, you can look at the calories, you have the protein, the fiber, the carbs, the fat, the sugars, you can see the added sugars there too. So don't forget to take a look at that too. But just remember that the order of the ingredients matters, because it is in weight. So the first few ingredients, that product contains the most of. Makes sense? So it goes in order to most to least when it lists the ingredients. Next, I want to talk about GMOs. So what are they and why they matter? We'll talk about organic and such too. Then we will talk about specific ingredients like aspartame, canola oil, things like that. So a GMO is a genetically modified organism. So they are plants or animals that have had their DNA altered in a lab to produce specific traits. For example, like being resistant to pests, growing faster, or withstanding harsh weather conditions. Okay, it sounds really cool, but here's where it gets tricky. This is why I personally try to go for foods that do not contain GMOs. Because if a product such as a crop is a GMO crop, typically they're a GMO because they are made to withstand to be able to withstand pesticides. So that way they can spray the entire field with pesticides and kill everything but the crop. So I'm like, okay, you're not only telling me that the DNA of this crop has been altered, but that's also telling me that it's likely to have more pesticide residue on it. So especially, you know, with crops like corn, soy, and wheat, they are engineered to tolerate those herbicides like glyphosate. So again, more chemical sprayed on the products, leaving more residue, and the pesticides are linked to hormone and health concerns and hormone disruption and gut health issues, all of the above. So typically I try to avoid them. Okay. Long-term effects, since GMOs have only been used widely for a few decades, they don't fully understand the long-term effects, but there's research out there that correlates the areas of GMOs to cancer and just other things. So there's some research out there if you want to go dig into it. I'm just going to let y'all know that that's something that I personally try to avoid, especially just, you know, the heavy pesticide use on GMOs. Now, that being said, there are areas where GMOs can be useful. So in areas of food scarcity, they can improve yields and nutrition. So like golden rice fortified with vitamin A. So there are some areas of the world that experience food scarcity. And so they do need certain products that are fortified with vitamins. Okay. However, in America, that is not typically the case for most of us. Okay. Most of the GMOs we are consuming are genetically modified organisms, which are your fruits, vegetables, sometimes animals that are able to withstand additional pesticides or environmental toxins, which then goes into our bodies. So keep that in mind. So what does organic mean? So organic foods are grown without synthetic pesticides or GMOs, or at least a particular percentage. So GMOs and organic foods are both regulated terms. The term natural is not regulated. So I want y'all to know the difference. So if something is a non-GMO verified product or an organic product, those have to be verified and meet certain qualifications. Now, organic doesn't necessarily mean no pesticides. I think there is like a percentage that they can contain, but it's a lot less than something that doesn't have that organic certification. You can also, if you're also looking at your fruits and vegetables, they have the Dirty Dozen list. So that list is the list of foods that you should, for the most part, try to buy organic. And then they have like the Clean 15. So those are typically the safer ones to buy not organic. Personally, if I can afford it, I try to buy all organic just to avoid that. I'm going on the tangent here real quick. I actually really try to buy local first. Okay. So some local producers, we live in South Louisiana, do have to use pesticides, but typically they are not GMO products that they are using. So I clean mine very well. I ask the farmers about their practices. Just because we live in the heat, South Louisiana, lots and lots of bugs, it's hard to produce a large amount. That being said, I feel like it's more important to eat close to home, because the second something is picked, it's dead. You know, it's not living anymore. It's not gaining nutrients. It's constantly declining in its nutritional value. So I really try to buy like every Saturday, almost every Saturday. Like, we might have an event that comes up, but almost every Saturday I try to go to the locals farmer's market with me and my little girls and get our fruits and vegetables from a local. It's just important to me. They're not covered in plastic. They come local. You know, could there still be some pesticides on it? Yes, for the most part, most farmers talk to them. You know, I mean, you'll get a feel for their practices, ask them questions. But most of the time, if you can buy local, you're going to have a higher nutrition content in those fruits and vegetables. So that is my priority. Then if I'm going to a grocery store, I'm going to buy organic there. Okay, but like I said, certifications like organic and GMO are verified. Now, natural is not a verified term. So that is left up into interpretation. I think I'll get onto this later too. But so if something says like natural flavors or natural sweeteners, that's not being very specific. So that's whatever the company feels like is deemed natural. So that can mean a bunch of different things. That term is absolutely not regulated and means almost nothing to me. Okay. So just putting that out there. So next, so here are some ingredients that I choose to avoid and why I try to avoid them. So one is artificial sugars. And so that's like things like aspartame, sucralose, and saccharin. So I'm not talking about monk fruit, stevia, anything like that. They are all considered zero or no calorie sweeteners, but there is a difference between artificial sweeteners and natural zero calorie sweeteners. Okay. So these sweeteners can reduce calories, but research suggests they can also disrupt gut health, increase sugar cravings, or even affect blood sugar regulation. So this is where the natural options like stevia, monk fruit, or small amounts of real organic cane sugar, raw honey, or maple syrup. Now, that being said, like I said, it depends on where you're at in your journey. I'm not going to detest the saying that someone who is at the beginning of their journey and you have some weight to lose and you're maybe drinking Cokes every day. Like if you just simply switch from Cokes to Diet Cokes, you're likely to lose some weight. So if that's the first step you need to take, make that your first step. Then eventually maybe we just go to like Zevia's and then maybe we go to regular soda water. So I'm not saying that these artificial sweeteners are always, I don't want to say always bad, you know, bad or good. When consumed in excess, I think anything, you know, isn't ideal. But, you know, if you're making that first initial swap, I think that's okay. But if you're like, hey, I don't really need this, let's try to make some better options, then I would avoid things like aspartame, sucralose, and saccharin. Again, research shows that it does disrupt the gut microbiome. And if you're with me, you've likely heard and know how important the gut is for our overall health, especially our brain health. And maybe I should do a separate podcast on that, just gut health in general. So let me know if y'all want that. Just know that it does disrupt gut health. Studies have not suggested that stevia and monk fruit, to my knowledge, do that. But I have seen several studies where aspartame, sucralose, and saccharin will do that. And I've also seen where it will still increase blood sugar, even if it's not sugar. Okay. So just be aware of that. Those are things I try to avoid. Refined oil, so inflammatory oil. So you will see this a lot on products. Canola oil, soybean oil, corn oil, vegetable oil. I try to avoid all that. Really, I try to avoid any oil that is liquid at room temperature. You know, I try to go more towards the hard oils. So this would be like avocado or some avocado oils, but like butter, ghee, coconut oil. Olive oil, you know, that's not okay. So maybe that's a bad term or way to say it because olive oil is still liquid. But anyway, so if I am looking for So I do try to avoid, let me again explain the ones that I try to avoid. So I try to avoid canola oil, soybean oil, corn oil, and vegetable oil mostly. Because they're extracted using chemicals and high heat, they can create harmful compounds. Instead, like I used to be confused. I'm like, wait, some people say canola oil is fine. Yet I go into Whole Foods sometimes and they have canola oil stuff. For some people, you know. So here's the thing is there is a difference between expeller pressed or cold pressed oils. So you might see an expeller pressed or cold pressed oil, canola oil, that is quote unquote typically deemed as better than the ones in processed foods that are using high heat. Or if you see that expeller press or cold press, that's likely meaning that oil is in a safer, I'm using a lot of quotes, but y'all can't see my hands, in a safer way, that they're using in a safer way. So I do stick to avocado oil, olive oil, coconut oil, butter, ghee, all of that for cooking. Okay, so those are oils. You will see that a lot, y'all. And I'm also going to say restaurants use a lot of those inflammatory oils. So if you're someone looking to decrease inflammation, ask your restaurant what oils they use. I have done it and I've been surprised. There's some that are swapping to olive oil or just some better oils. Next is high fructose corn syrup. So you'll find these in sodas, candy, sweetened snacks, and even some breads. Y'all, they make, it's funny. I have a friend from Denmark. She comes here and she's like, why is y'all's bread so sweet? Like, why do they add that? She's just not used to it and it makes sense. But it has been linked to insulin resistance and fatty liver disease. So instead, look for either unsweetened products or those with natural sweeteners like dates, honey, maple syrup, or like I mentioned, stevia or monk fruit. Okay. Next is food dyes and additives. And this is becoming more and more to the forefront, and especially regarding kids. So anything. I avoid any artificial dyes, but especially like red 40, yellow 5, and blue 1. And y'all may have seen lately they have come out with new names for these. I don't know all of them. Let me Google them real quick if y'all can just hang with me a second. new names for food dyes. Because we have that ability. We can just Google and figure it out. So they have, so it used to be actually really easy to identify because it was just Red 40, Yellow 6. Okay, so now Red 40 is also known as Allura Red or E120 or E129. Yellow 6 is also known as, so that still says yellow, but then you have like Brilliant Blue is now a color and Tartrazine is how I'm going to say it, but that's going to be like all of your yellows. Okay. So they have now allowed different names of food dyes. So they're trying to make it even more tricky. So I avoid those. They can be linked to hyperactivity, inflammation. There's some people out there that say that it can like directly affect your brain. But instead they have a bunch of natural coloring agents like beet juice, turmeric, or spirulina. And yeah, maybe they're not as vibrant, but who cares, you know? So I just try to avoid food dyes altogether. So those are some of the main ingredients that I look to avoid and that I'm looking at on my list. All of that being said, and then also preservatives. And so, kind of almost skipped over this one, but preservatives so are linked to hormone disruption. Now they have natural preservatives like vitamin E or citric acid, which is actually vitamin C. So that's what I go for. I try to avoid. It's hard because I try to avoid ones that have like really long names, but sometimes it's still a natural ingredient. So sometimes it does just take me like using a little scanner or Googling things, you know? So I just try to, you know, avoid things too, like nitrates in my food, and just anything that has a lot of just additives. And then you'll kind of start to learn to the brands, like where I'm buying it from, and the brands make a difference for me. Like I know for the most part, like Whole Foods is probably going to carry some better stuff than Walmart. Walmart has better brands. Like there, I'll go for like Applegate. You know, they have the Chomps beef sticks, you know, and some other brands too. And even stores like Aldi's, I'm really starting to love Aldi's, but not everything in their store is healthy. So you do still have to read the labels and distinguish between what is healthy, what is not. So hopefully some of these tips are helping you. Okay. But most importantly, like use your brain and trust your gut. Like if you're constantly justifying a processed food by saying, well, it's not that bad, chances are it's not serving you. If it's something you wouldn't recognize as food as your own kitchen, then it might be better to avoid it depending on where you are in your journey. And so y'all, I'm not saying you have to do any of this, but I've had more and more clients ask me, okay, how do I reduce inflammation? You know, what ingredients do I look for? But here's the thing, if you're eating mostly whole foods, you don't have to stress that much over the added ingredients because you shouldn't be eating as much processed foods. If you're diet is consists of 80%, you know, and 80%, even when they say like 80-20, I'm like, what's really 80-20? You know, but just looking at most of your day. So maybe you have like one or two processed items a day, you know, and this is too looking at your sauces. And I'll be totally honest, like people love my no-cook grocery guides and I love them too because they're super easy. They're super convenient. I've started putting a cleaner section because I'm not going to lie, everything in there isn't the cleanest, but I'm not telling you to eat all of these things every day. I'm like, hey, if you're in a pinch and you need something, here you go, but don't rely on it. Now there are brands, like I said, that I do keep in my fridge regularly for quick stuff like Amy Lou's, Kevin's Chickens. Y'all know I'm a fan of those, but in general, so here's what to look for. Look for a shorter ingredient list when possible. So typically fewer ingredients means less processed. Typically, look for whole foods at the top. So look for real foods first as the first ingredient, mostly recognizable names, you know, so try to avoid unnecessary chemicals or additives. Not everything is listed as its normal name. So just kind of use your brain, ask me a question, do some research. They have a little, and you know, maybe I should talk about the apps. They have a lot of barcode scanning apps, but I don't always agree with those either. So just, you know, use what you feel is right without, you know, trying to over justify something. I try to, you know, I look for sometimes no added sugars except ketchup. Ketchup deserves added sugar. Just no added sugar ketchup is bleh. it's not worth it. And it's not that much added sugar, to be honest, or oils. And then I do look for, like, if it's my produce, I do look for pasture-raised eggs. I do look for organic, you know, whole milks. I do look for organic cheeses and dairy products. And I used to think, like, okay, what does organic mean when it comes to those sorts of things? And so it is organic farming practices, typically no added antibiotics and such like that. So when you get into, like, your food, and same thing with, like, chicken and beef, I do go for organic chicken and beef. Because at first I was buying this for a long time. I was like, what does organic mean when it comes to chicken and beef? And does it, like, really matter? But it does, because think about it. What they eat is what they're made up of and what we eat. And it's like, do I really want to eat, like, a really sick chicken that's been pumped with antibiotics? And so that's typically what it means when you're looking at dairy, animal, and animal products. It's, you know, their living conditions, their feed must be 100% organic if it's considered organic. They can't be given antibiotics or growth hormones or, you know, or synthetic fertilizers, chemicals, any of that. So it's just their living conditions. And in general, if y'all would see how some of these animals are raised, it's really gross. And so I want to, my best, eat healthy, happy animals. Okay. So final thoughts. I know it can still feel overwhelming at first, and I've hoped that I provided some clarity. I know there's still a lot of gray area, because I'm leaving it up to you, because I'm not the boss of your life. You are. I just hope I've shared my clear opinion, but remember, it's not about being perfect and starting with small changes. So don't be, you know, I'm not saying be scared of everything, but you're more in control than you think. You know, so educate yourself and just go for the right things, you know, and slowly, I'm not saying go and throw everything out of your pantry, but maybe just slowly kind of convert things as you run out, get a little bit better option, and just get more whole foods on hand so you need less snacks. And everything adds up. And so I was really excited, because I just got, like, a hair mineral analysis test done, and that will show, like, the level of toxins and stuff in your body. And I almost had no toxins. And so I was really proud of that. I still had some low levels of things that we just get through our air, food, you know, water, all of those things. But for the most part, my toxins were really low. And I was excited to see that. But remember, everything adds up. Thanks for tuning in. I hope this was helpful. Don't forget to check out the show notes for some really helpful guides. And our Christmas giveaway. So I will talk to y'all soon, and I hope you have an amazing rest of your week.